United States v. Tolbert. Ms. Christensen.
May it please the Court, Counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joanna Christensen. I'm appearing for Appellant Michael Tolbert this morning. The government describes the issues raised in this case, which are criminal history category issues, as arcane. Unfortunately for the government, all issues regarding sentencing guidelines could probably be described as arcane. They're often very detail-oriented and difficult to understand without proper analysis. I'll address the first conviction, the 1980 conviction. Mr. Tolbert received a total of 4 points for this conviction, or convictions, in the district court under 4A1.1E, which adds for an extra point for a crime of violence if it didn't get points because it considered part of a single sentence. The district court failed to analyze the fact that these offenses were all committed on the same occasion. That language was in 4A1.1E and subsection F. It was changed in 2007, but was removed after the Sentencing Commission made some changes regarding the language of related sentences because that terminology was difficult to understand. What the Sentencing Commission did not change, however, was the commentary, which specifically states that an example is two sentences for robbery committed on different occasions. That would not get the fourth point under 4A1.1E.
Let me ask you something that may not directly be related. My understanding was that he shot a woman and her 9 and 14-year-old children?
Yes.
Did one of them die from the result of that?
Yes. Well, one of the children died 3 years later. From, I believe, it's not entirely clear.
So that's the reason it wasn't murder.
Right, that's the murder conviction. It was rape, murder, home invasion was in there as well. But they were all committed on the same occasion.
Right. I understand, I just was curious about
that. Yeah, yeah. I believe it was the younger child who ultimately passed away. And I believe that's the reason it was a second-degree murder rather than the first-degree murder conviction. Although, again, it's not entirely clear. And as I said, the government does not address this issue directly in its brief. It relies on what the district court ruled regarding whether there was one 50-year sentence or two 50-year sentences, which is not the issue we're raising here. We're raising the issue of whether these two crimes that each received points occurred on the same occasion, which the guidelines indicate is not an appropriate use of subsection E. The second challenge we have is to the two retail theft convictions that happened in 2010. The probation officer in the district court applied 4A1.2A2, which is the multiple prior convictions language. However, the trial court imposed only one sentence, a sentence of 30 days, for those two offenses. It's an unusual case, and there's only one case that I could find that addressed that issue, and it's the Fourth Circuit's Davis case, which held that when there is only one sentence, even if it's imposed for multiple convictions, it only counts for one sentence. And therefore, we wouldn't get to the 4A1.2A2 analysis because there's only one prior sentence. Similarly, the government does not address the basis of that issue and says that we can't win that issue, we can't win the first issue, so we win nothing, or this error is harmless because the district court said it wouldn't impose the same sentence. I'll address then the harmless error issue because, of course, that's part of the analysis here. And this court will find harmless error if the district court acknowledged the disputed issues, stated the sentence would be the same, and gave a thoughtful explanation of that sentence. The court acknowledged some of the disputed issues in this case, but again, as we mentioned in our brief, did not discuss the same occasion language regarding the 1980 murder rape conviction. He did state that the sentence would be the same, but gave no analysis about the issues that are raised on appeal. And we would argue that the Sanner case that the government cites and other cases where this court had said that harmless error will apply if the district court said it would impose the same sentence, those are issues where the ruling involved is more discretionary than this one. This is really a yes or no question. Does this conviction count? Does it not count? In those cases where harmless error is applied, it's usually a discretionary ruling about whether the evidence points toward, for example, a defendant having a leadership role in the offense, or the amount of drugs, which often be a discretionary ruling based on someone's credibility at sentencing. Distinguishing that, this case is a yes or no question. Do these convictions count for criminal history points? The answer should be no, and therefore the guidelines were not correctly calculated. The district court relied on an erroneous assumption about the way the guidelines were supposed to be calculated. Finally, the Sander case is distinguishable. There were two defendants in that case. Court held both were harmless error. One of them would have received the same criminal history category whether he won his issue on appeal or not. So, of course, it would be harmless because there would be no change in the guidelines. The other one was a discretionary issue about the amount of loss, which ties back into the way we distinguish about discretionary issues rather than legal conclusions. Unless the court has further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mr. Ingram?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Ingram. I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I respectfully ask that this court affirm the sentence of Mr. Tolbert. Your Honors, the district judge properly found that the defendant's sentencing in 1980 for rape and attempted murder was two sentences rather than one under Guideline Section 4A 1.1 sub E. The addition of one criminal history category point due to this finding was also proper. The district court calculated a criminal history category of 4 by calculating 8 criminal history category points. A minimum of 7 points is necessary to be in criminal history category 4. The version of 4A 1.1 sub E, in effect at the time of the defendant's sentencing, in this case in 2013, did not contain the sentence, quote, provided that this item does not apply where the sentences are considered related because the offenses occurred on the same occasion, close quote. The deletion of this limiting language had the effect of broadening the range of sentences that would count in the calculation of a criminal history. So the rape and attempted murder at issue here did occur on the same occasion, but since the guideline no longer contained that limiting language, the issue for the district judge in deciding whether to apply the extra point was whether separate sentences were imposed for these crimes back in 1980. And the district judge found that separate 50-year sentences had been imposed for these separate offenses. And the district judge gave explanation for this in his statement of reasons. Here's what he said. Quote, this is the most logically read as 50 years as to each of these charges. That reading is bolstered by the fact that the document breaks out these two offenses in the next section. Further, the document does not say a term of 50 years or a separate 50 years, which might suggest a single sentence. They are still two separate crimes, which is why 4A 1.1 sub E provides for the additional point, close quote. So the district court's reading of the facts and the guideline provision give effect to this guideline, whose purpose is to count a portion of the criminal history that otherwise would not have been counted. This reading also gives effect to the fact that the guideline no longer contained the limiting language that was dropped in 2007. So the district judge correctly applied the guideline based on a detailed and thorough reading of the facts. With respect to the 2010 convictions for retail theft, Your Honors, that the district judge also properly calculated a point for each of those. They were separate offenses committed on separate dates in different places with different case numbers. There was an intervening arrest, and so the district judge properly assigned each of these sentences a criminal history category point. But even if the district judge erred, this issue is moot if the district judge properly found that the defendant's 1980 50-year sentences were in fact separate sentences, because if that is so, the defendant would remain in criminal history category 4 even with a subtraction of one criminal history category point. And, Your Honors, most importantly, even if the district court was wrong as to both criminal history category calculations, the error was harmless because the judge made it clear that he would have imposed the same sentence under Section 3553 using those factors, regardless of whether the defendant was in criminal history category 3 or criminal history category 4. Citing U.S. against Sanner, the judge said, quote, the sentence is based also on Section 3553A and would be the same regardless of my findings on the guidelines. Even if I had concluded that the defendant should fall in category 3 due to the scoring issues that he raised, I would still impose the same sentence. At sentencing, the district court also cited this court's case of United States against Sonnenberg for the proposition that a court can increase a sentence using Section 3553 factors no matter how a prior conviction is counted under the guidelines. So there are no grounds, Your Honors, to remand this case if the district judge would impose the same sentence no matter how the guideline scoring issues are resolved. So in conclusion, Your Honors, the district court properly calculated the defendant's criminal history category, but would have imposed the same sentence regardless, and so I respectfully ask this court to affirm the sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Ingram.
Thank you.
Ms. Christensen?
Briefly, Your Honors, I would again like to focus the court's attention to the arguments that we are making now and what the district court actually ruled on. And the issue is whether they were different. The whole issue is the different occasions. And that relies on the commentary to 4A1.1, which talks about offenses occurring on different occasions. The Sentencing Commission didn't remove that language, and therefore it should still be considered, even though it removed the other language within the guideline itself. Again, we're not arguing the separate sentences about the 1980 conviction, and that's what the district court made the ruling on, was the separate sentences. That's not what we're arguing on appeal. The district court didn't address that issue below. So regarding the retail theft, the factors in the multiple prior sentences guideline only apply if there are multiple prior sentences. If there aren't multiple prior sentences, we don't get to the intervening arrest. We don't get to the two different case numbers, the two different offenses. We get to just one issue, whether there was one sentence or two sentences, and there was a sentence of 30 days imposed. And finally, about harmless error, I'll rely on the brief in my argument prior, but I would note that if the court would impose the same sentence, that sentence would now be above the guidelines range and would require justification for going above the guidelines range that perhaps the district court did not do in this case. We ask that this court reverse and remand this matter for resentencing. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under